Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Today on another spine-numbing episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. What happens when a mother and daughter both have the same dream at the same time about an old home that neither has lived in for 20 years? Then slowly, more and more members of the same family have the same dream. Was this house trying to get a message to its former owners? Or was something very dark trying to lure this family into a supernatural trap? That story and so much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. If you want to get access to all the bonus episodes, all our shows being commercial free, so you can sit there and binge away without any ads, and the whole archive of episodes, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, get all that, plus the extra bonus episodes every week and all sorts of other stuff, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. It's Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to light this candle with magic.
Yeah, I noticed you're over there waving your hands around, and I'm like, what is she doing? And it's very distracting when I'm trying to, like, do the intro to the show.
I'm sorry.
So I'm like, I'm just looking over here. I don't want to...
I'm just trying to think of things to enter the show with.
Performing magic in the studio, and that's great. You gonna bring the Ouija board next one?
Bring the bunk bed bell.
The bunk bed, but we have the, you know, the bunk bed bell is still in the other, in the old studio.
Your arcade.
I gotta get that out of there because my whole arm injury this summer kind of put a damper on,
getting the smallest bell in the world from that room.
Getting what?
The smallest.
Oh, well, no, that's not at all the, yes, I couldn't pick up the bell, my dear. No, my whole plan was to really get all of the desks and everything out of there, but it's hard to do it with just one arm.
It so. Smells nice.
What?
The candle.
Oh, I'm like, oh, I can smell. I'm saying my arm, and you're like, it smells nice. I'm like, what the hell? My arm smells nice? It smells nice. Gonna like take that little piece of audio and just like have a button for it. It's like, what'd you think of that ghost story, Harper? It smells nice.
Use the bathroom.
Oh, that's good. I'm gonna go to you okay there?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, you really jumped off of that quick. All right, I'm gonna go to a story. It's fun doing a show with your daughter. It really is. Let's go to our first story. It says, it's been a long time since I first wrote into your show. I was truly ecstatic when you read my story and gave it in the fitting name of Spirits Around the Baby. As stated in my story, I have had many experiences with the paranormal and would like to share them all with you one day. Today, I'm writing in with an experience that shaken not just myself, but my mother and older brother. In my previous story, I wrote about how my brother suffered the worst of all of us in the haunted home that we lived in. For some reason, he was the center of all activity, as whatever was in the home targeted him most of all. In my story, I wrote of many of the experiences we had as a family, but I did leave out some of the most horrifying out of respect to my brother and the trauma he experienced. My brother has shut off almost all memory of the house we grew up in. It's how, in a sense, he protects himself from what he experienced, and in doing so, he's not had any encounters since we moved. I, on the other hand, have continued to have paranormal experiences, and so has my mother, which brings us to what I wanted to share with you today. A while back, I had the most unusual dream. It was vivid, and when I awoke, I remembered every detail. In my dream, I was transported back into my old home, and everything was just as I remembered. All the same as growing up. The only difference was myself. I was a grown woman, and not the small girl that lived at the home as I walked about the house. I knew I wasn't supposed to be there, as I had all my memories of life that I lived since we left. As I paced about the rooms, I began to feel anxious because I knew I did not belong. I thought to myself I had to get out because I'm a mother and wife and needed to return to my family. During the dream, I kept looking for the door to leave, but as I walked about the house, I could not find it. The floor plan of the house was just as I remembered. The only thing missing was a front and back door. After a while, I realized I was trapped in that house, and it would not let me go. It seemed like an eternity, but I finally awoke from the dream and found myself in my bed, thousands of miles away from that wretched house. That same day, I called my mother, as we are remarkably close, and shared any strange experiences we have with each other. As I began to tell her my dream, she became eerily quiet. She did not even let me finish before she stopped me and described to me my exact dream. She asked me if I felt like I was trapped in the house, and then in the pit of my stomach, I knew I did not belong back there. I was shocked as she recounted to me my own dream. She noticed my disbelief and told me she's experienced the exact same dream. She told me she was back at the house and knew that she no longer lived there. In her dream, she could not find a way out, no matter how much she searched the exit. It just eluded her, as it did me in my dream. When she awoke, she remembered everything, which, as you know, rarely happens. Her dream was vivid and so realistic, it freaked her out. She never mentioned it to me because she only wished to put it out of her mind. We both looked at each other on FaceTime in disbelief that we both had somehow experienced the exact same dream. We grew silent, and after a while, we both mentioned how it felt, as though the house was calling us back. Time passed, and we put our experiences behind us, and I packed up my family and moved to another state. We now live only 2 hours from my older brother, which we have not lived this close to each other in over 10 years. As we became settled in our new home, she called me one day, and he seemed on edge. My brother's a very logical and level-headed man, and I've never really heard him unhinged before. I asked him what was going on, and he told me he had the strangest dream. Did not even click in my mind what he could have possibly dreamt about that had him so unnerved. He then proceeded to tell me how he went to sleep and awoke back at our childhood home, a house he's refused to remember and somehow in his subconscious shut out of his mind. He said the dream startled him because he knew in his gut, that he was not supposed to be there. He continued to tell me the whole thing felt wrong, and he tried to find his way out, remembering he had a family to get back to. I was shocked he had the same dream both my mother and I had. As he continued, I noticed how his was slightly different. In my mother's and mine's dream, we were simply transported into the house with no way to escape, our own anxiety building up as we panicked to get out and finally awaken from our dreams. In my brother's case, he spoke about something lurking in the shadows of the home, telling me how a dark figure was following him as he searched for a way out. He continued with his recollection, saying that the pursuit of the dark figure became more and more intense until it reached to the point that he was being chased. He finally stopped running and faced what was after him, and he awoke. He told me he was trembling when he sat up, and he felt almost like a flood of memories resurface. I was in pure disbelief. How could we all have had such similar dreams, especially of a house we've not lived in over 20 years? I told my brother that I had a similar dream, and he was disturbed and described the feeling of the dream as a calling of some sort. I told him not to think too much into it and let it go. I was truly shaken by what I had just heard, but told my brother to not dwell on it, that it was just a coincidence. It baffles me to this day that we could have had such similar dreams only months apart from one another, and each taking us back to that terrible house. I've not had another dream since, and pray not to. Somehow, whatever was in that home has embedded itself into each of us, still haunting not our daily lives, but our dreams, reminding us that there truly is no escape.
That could be a horror movie.
What part?
Like, it could be called, like, the dream state.
Where the house keeps calling you back?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it smells nice.
Yeah. Smells nice.
Get that on a button, please.
I can't do it while we're on there. But that would be, that's very bizarre for something that long ago, like 20 years. I mean, I could see like kind of shortly after you move out, you have those memories, but all simultaneously, having that is bizarre.
And then in the horror movie, they could just go back to the house and see what is pulling them back. And that will be their final regret.
You get there and it's actually a game show. And it's like,
ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
You followed the calling. You win a prize.
It's called This Old Haunted House. And Bob Vila is the host. And you wouldn't even get that joke. But he's there. And everyone has to
survive five nights in this house.
Rehabilitate the house. But every night they're also summoning spirits to make it even worse.
Yeah.
And
boards are falling off onto their heads.
Mm-hmm. And they're like deliberately asking for like the nastiest spirits and ghosts that they can to show up. And then
even
whoever gets through the renovations the best, because you only have one day to do each room. So whoever gets it, then they win the house.
It's like a never-ending house.
But by the time that you win the house, you know, it's so infested with things, you don't even want the house.
And then they kill themselves.
Oh, God. It's a very, very dark ending to this show that we're plotting here.
You said they were summoning, like,
yes. Very dark. You're right, I did, but I
so
guess...
So I think that's
I think that would be... You just took it a step darker.
No. No, not really.
No, yeah, you did, and I'm kind of horrified and proud of you at the same time. Where it's like she yeah, but she's not yeah. So yeah, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this one. Hi, hang on. Dun 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 dun. Okay, let's hear your ghost story.
Some really interesting stories. I don't want to call myself a sensitive. Also, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I don't want to call myself a sensitive. I think when I was younger, I was hoping that I would be more like that. But the older I get, the more like I don't want to draw things in that I don't know about or that are kind of that are scary. The one experience that I've had is more to do with sleep paralysis. I am a Christian, and so I do definitely believe in, you know, good and evil, but I also don't deny the fact that there could be ghosts and spirits, but that's okay. So again, with the sleep paralysis, last summer, I bought my first place, a condo, and I'm still there today. So I've been there about just over a year and a half. I've had sleep paralysis instances before, but they really kind of came to a head last summer. In the span of about a month or so, I had about 3 or 4 instances where I have a 2-bedroom condo. It's kind of small, just under 1,000 square feet, my bedroom. But I've always had this fear that because I live alone, someone's kind of break in and come and hurt me. Well, I think whatever these instances were with the sleep paralysis were playing on that very fear, because in the first episode of sleep paralysis last summer, in that time span of a month, I remember, you know, waking up and kind of coming to, my eyes were still closed, but I heard what sounded like someone was doing dishes in my kitchen or like emptying the dishwasher or something. The kitchen's on the first floor. And I'm like, oh my God, someone's in my place. So I get up, I open up my door, and I always keep my bedroom door locked kind of as a last ditch effort in case somebody does break into my place. It'll take them a moment to get into my room. I do have an alarm system and that does work. So I don't know why they'd manage to get up there, but just in case. So I heard someone doing dishes. I get up, go, you know, open up my door, kind of peer downstairs. It's quiet. There's no one down there. So I was like, all right, great. So I think this must have been a few days later. I come to again in the middle of the night. Again, my eyes are still shut, but I'm very aware. And it sounds like somebody, I have one master bathroom that's upstairs right outside my bedroom. I hear the water turning on and off, or it sounds like somebody's running the bathroom sink water. And I was like, oh my God. I come to with, or I'm in a sleep depression. Once I kind of get myself awake, it takes a while, but after some, you know, a lot of strength, I'm able to get myself up out of bed. And this time I didn't investigate. I just kind of woke up and acknowledged that I was having a sleep paralysis episode. I mean, I'm during sleep paralysis, I can't even, I would never wish this amount of terror on anyone, just to kind of validate that it is actually sleep paralysis. I'm scared. It's very, very real in the moment. So this first time was the dishes. The second time it's getting close to my room. It's messing with the water in the sink faucet in the master bathroom right outside my bedroom door. I didn't investigate that time. It must have been within, you know, a few days from that second instance. The third one was, this time it sounds like someone in the middle of the night again. I come to, this is always around 3 o'clock in the morning. The third instance was somebody was kind of, it sounded like they're opening and closing my shower curtain. You know how you hear the rings against the rod. And of course I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh my God, I hate this. I don't like the fact that it's playing on my fears. And over time and throughout my life, I've kind of learned to recognize that it is sleep paralysis, no matter how scary it is. So I didn't give it any time of day. I just kind of woke up and made sure I could move. And then I went back to sleep and I was fine. I try not to sleep on my back now because I know I'm a lot more likely to be in sleep paralysis or have another thing if I'm on my back. So the fourth time, and this was the fourth episode in 1 month again, right before the fourth episode, I was invited over to my neighbor's house. I'm in a condo unit and I have a unit on either side of me. And the next door neighbors, they invited me over for like a cookout. And I wasn't able to make it to the cookout, but I stopped by for drinks after my plans on that Saturday night. I stopped by and they were talking about the old man who lived in my unit before me. And he had only lived there a year. Long story short, really, really old man. He couldn't even use the stairs. And so there was no reason for him to have a place with stairs. So I think family got involved, moved him into a safer place. But what they told me that night was, you know, we used to hear him on the other side of the wall because our master bedrooms, you know, are on the other side of the wall from each other. They're thick walls. But they said they used to hear him screaming in the middle of the night, which was really terrifying to hear. And I asked why he would scream, and they're like, did he have a night nurse? And they said, no. The nurse would come during the day and take care of him. But in the middle of the night, he would be yelling at somebody, saying something to the effect of, go away. Please don't touch me. Please don't hurt me. Go away. And I was like, oh, that's great. That's really, really encouraging and kind of validating this fear in these episodes that I've been having, that something may be in my place. And I was like, great. These condos were built in the 60s, so I'm not aware of any big thing that's happened. I'm on the condo association board, so I haven't heard of anything. So of course I go to bed. I like just walk back to my place. I'm like, okay, good night guys. And I'm like, great. How am I going to go to sleep tonight? So I somehow go to sleep, and then that same night I have another episode. This is the fourth and I'll say final episode, because this time I was just pissed. I don't like my sleep being interrupted. So I come to, but my eyes are still closed and I'm just kind of listening. And remember how I said I keep my door locked? Well, someone coming up the stairs, I can't move. I know that I have control of my eyes, but I decide to keep my eyes shut because I'm like, I want to listen. I don't want to see anything. I hear what sounds like someone opening my door, and then I hear someone come up to the side of my bed, and I was like, oh my God, someone's broken. All I'm thinking is, like, now I'm just terrified. I'm thinking somebody's right next to my bed, someone's about to murder me. And then I feel somebody get up on top of me, and I feel the full pressure and full weight of another person. My eyes are still shut, and then nothing. I just feel the weight, and I'm like, at this point I was obviously just frozen in fear. And I'm like, I'm not going out this way. Like, I was pretty sure I was about to die, whether I was going to be raped or murdered or something. I was like, I'm not going out without seeing this person. I'm not going to be scared like this until the end. So I get myself the courage to open up my eyes, and I do, and nothing's there. The weight's gone. Nothing's there. And I look at my door, and my door is completely shut. Remember, I said I locked it, so it wouldn't have even made sense for somebody to come in. After that, when I'm in sleep paralysis, I will pray. Like I said, I am a Christian. I will pray that whatever it is to go away, like in the name of Jesus. And usually after about a long time of praying, usually whatever it is, it'll go away and I'll be able to get myself out of sleep paralysis. This time though, I was pissed. I mean, like I prayed and stuff, but I was like, I had no more patience. I was so mad and angry that they made me feel whatever it was or whatever the presence was made me feel like I was about to die, and had the courage to come up and actually become that invasive in my space. So I just got really pissed and I basically swore the thing off and I said, don't come back, whatever it is, whatever that presence is. And to this day, I'm happy to say it's been about since last summer, and I don't know. I've had moments in the middle of the night where I'm freaked out, where I'll wake up in the 3 o'clock hour, but I just go back to sleep and I brush it off and I don't give it the attention, whatever it is that it feeds on. I mean, I'm still safe and I have my alarm system and I still lock my door, but I think it just angered me to a point where I was like, no, it has no right to be here. I'm not going to let this thing run my life. I really hate my sleep being interrupted. And I'm a good sleeper. So I'm like, for something to be able to ruin that, I'm like, you know, you cross the line. Again, I don't even know if I said my name. My name's Lee. Again, Columbus, Ohio. I really appreciate your show. I do have another story. So if this does get aired and you do find it interesting, I'll probably call in and give another short story.
That'd be great. Thank you for sharing your story. Thoughts?
On today's episode of Sleep Paralysis, but it's just sound, so it's not... Honestly, that could just be a ghost, not necessarily sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of those where it's kind of hard to tell. I mean, sometimes you have more evidence that will point to it being something a bit more than that. Sometimes you don't. I think sometimes it's just about, you know, how you feel and kind of how you perceive those things of what's, you know, sometimes it's very personal to know what it is.
And honestly, the fourth episode of the sleep paralysis,
mm-hmm.
It kind of just sounds like a very like dream. Cause her eyes are closed and she was hearing all this, but she could have just been dreaming with the last one, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it's anything's possible.
Like, but I have dreams where I can like kind of feel like what's going on.
Yeah. Like it's around you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you jerk your feet around.
Yeah.
And it's like, then
you fall off the bed
and you scare your pets. And your pets get angry.
The hotel in Hawaii actually did that, and I fell off the bed.
That's great. What did you do?
I was like in a family video.
Okay.
And there were dinosaurs.
Okay.
And I was just running around. I was jerking my feet around in the bed, and then I just fall off. I was like half awake, and I was just like sitting straight up, hands were out, and I just fell off.
Did your roommate feel this too?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
That was the night that she like opened my eyes while I was like deep asleep.
What the hell you guys do over there? 855-853-4802. What did she discover? Were they like black?
They're just like all rolled up.
Oh, great.
I can do that naturally, just like by command.
That's good. Let's go to a caller.
I love your show. My name's Irving Wiley. I live in Maryland, on the Eastern Shore. And my family settled in Maryland in the 1680s. And we had several very old homes. But one of them was right down. I'm telling you expect an old home to have squeaks and shit like that in it. This home was actually dead silent. It was, you walk up to that house and you get bad vibes. And one of the people that had lived in there had died one of the strangest deaths. He worked on a barge on Chesapeake Bay, and this barge blew up. It was full of gasoline. They never found his body. And that's what who we always said haunted this house. My dad bought it when he retired from the Marine Corps and we moved back up to Eastern Shore, Maryland. I guess the scariest moment of my life was I was sleeping in this small bedroom. It was like the attic bedroom. That's where the attic door was. And I would not put my head down by that attic door. I had my head down the other way. And I was laying in the bed one morning about, I guess it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And some woke me up. And I took and touched my chest. And I was sweating unbelievably. It was like I'd been in a football game. And then the next thing I realized was that my arm was being tugged right out of the bed down the hall. I snatched my arm out. I was afraid to even look down that hall on that second floor. There was no way I could do it. I took and laid there that night until the sun came up. And the really strange part about it is that 6 months later, the little country store down there that was right beside our house, I'm in there one morning, and the old man that was raised in that house, he was talking to a bunch of the other old men one morning, and I just happened to walk in there and overhear the conversation. He said, you know what I used to hate? He said, my older brother Earl would come in and he'd have a few drinks under his belt. And I slept in that little bedroom by the attic and he'd snatch my arm and rip me out of bed. I could have died. I could have died when I heard that because that's just the exact thing that happened to me. But that house, me, my brothers, have actually witnessed sitting in the living room downstairs and hearing somebody walk up and down the stairs upstairs. We actually called the police. And there was no one to be found up there. But we always blamed it on the guy that, I'm not going to mention his name because people from down there would know it. But I'm telling you, Tony, that house was, it was strange. You know, my brothers and sisters, I would stay in there by myself. But my younger brothers and sisters, I'm the oldest. Unless I was there, or my mom and dad were there, they were going to stay in that house. That's how strange that house was. It was so silent. It was eerie. But yet, all this paranormal activity happened in that house.
That was a great story.
I love how a lot of these like stories like happen at like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
That's a perfect time to go eat pancakes.
Others would consider it the perfect time to see ghosts. Or,
and I always say 3 a.m. is the witching hour.
The witching hour. To Harper, it's just another opportunity to eat pancakes. Because in Harperland, Harper does what she wants. And if it's pancakes at 3 a.m. with the demons, it's pancakes at 3 a.m. with the demons.
I'll make them a plate.
You make them a plate. That's great. Pentagram pancakes.
Hey, you know, I could possibly do that with cookie cutters.
You know, it would be really kind of neat if you had an iron. You know, like there's like flat irons that have like designs on them and you can push them into something and it grills it real quick or marks it.
What?
It's like branding. You know, you get a hot iron.
That's a horrible representation.
No, there's flat irons that have like designs on them sometimes, and you press it into something, and there'll be like a letter or something like that.
But I thought you were talking about something else.
No, but if you did the hot flat iron of a Ouija board, you could like make a rectangle pancake, and then you just press down the hot iron on it that has the Ouija board imprint on it.
And then you make a... what's the thing called?
The butter is in the shape of planchettes, and it's easy to slide because it's butter. Oh my gosh!
You're just buttering the pancake.
Mm-hmm. You'd start a whole restaurant, the Ouija cake, and everybody is there at their table doing the Ouija
board. And we're only open
on pancakes.
And we're only open from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m.
You get a lot of drunk people in there. You want to be open through the 3, so it'd be 2 to 4 is where you'd have it.
2 to 4 p.m.
No, you do it a.m.
A.m.
So you do it in the a.m., and then you have all the people that come out of the bars, and then you have them all doing Ouija pancakes.
Summoning things. And then no one ever finds out about your cafe, and it's just this... overly haunted.
During the day,
abandoned place.
During the day, it looks like it's an abandoned place. And then, like, all of a sudden, the light's gone, and you can see it's like this, like, real bustling, looking clean place.
And it's a really, like, nice place. And all I serve you is planchette pancakes.
Planchette pancakes.
Well, Ouija pancakes and planchette butter.
Oh my gosh. That would be great.
And then you just have syrup on the side.
It's a, it's like a pop up restaurant, kind of.
Yeah.
No.
And then during the day, I like have like this like little thing that looks like just like boards or something. I like nail up the windows to make it look like.
Yeah. During the day, it looks like there's nothing there.
Yeah. It just looks like this old place. But at like night, it's bussing.
All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Yes. Oh, you get more Harper this week. Don't worry. She's on all week long, and I'm not even kidding. She's filling in for Carol. We'll talk more about that in our next episode. Coming to EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com and help keep us on the air. For Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.